from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
Senate Democrats attack people of religion. The state of Mississippi takes a stand for life, and the Senate Republicans want to ban infanticide. That's all coming up on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. Recently, during confirmation hearings for Naomi Rao, who is President Trump's nominee to replace Brett Kavanaugh on the D.C. Circuit, Rao's faith came under fire from Democrat Senator Cory Booker. Here's that exchange, as well as Family Research Council President Tony Perkins with his thoughts.
Are gay relationships, in your opinion, immoral?
Senator, I'm not sure, you know, the relevance of that to, you know, I mean...
I think relevant your opinion. If you think African-American relationships are immoral, do you think gay relationships are immoral? Do you personally believe that gay relationships...
No, I do not.
You do not believe that?
No.
Do you believe they're a sin?
Senator, you know, my personal views on any of these subjects are things I would put to one side and I would faithfully follow...
So you're not willing to say here that whether you believe it is sinful for two men to be married? You're not willing to comment on that?
Yes, you know, Senator, no.
Well, excuse me?
I'm sorry?
I didn't hear your response.
My response is that these personal views are ones that I would put to one side, whatever my personal views are on this subject.
Now, again, this is New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. This just happened last week. Not getting a lot of attention because there's so much else happening here in Washington, D.C. I mean, you've got Democratic governors pushing for infanticide. But this is kind of Cory Booker's line, if you will. I take it back to April of 2018 when Mike Pompeo, nominated by President Trump to serve as Secretary of State, already had been confirmed to serve as director of the CIA. He was asked multiple times by Cory Booker during the confirmation hearing, do you believe gay sex is a perversion? Now, Mike Pompeo, you know, what are you going to say? And he just kept on and was saying, look, I respect all people. In fact, it's a textbook example of how this should be handled from the way Mike Pompeo did it. But Cory Booker continued asking those questions. And of course, you've got Senator Feinstein, who went after Judge Amy Barrett in September of 2017, talking about the dogma, her Catholic faith that lives so loudly within her. But last week, when this attack began on this latest nominee, Naomi Rao, two of the senators on the committee took issue with it, one of them being Senator Ted Cruz. Let's play the clip from clip number two from Senator Ted Cruz.
Senate Judiciary Committee should not be a theater for mischaracterizing or twisting nominees' records or views, nor should it be an avenue for persecution. We've seen a growing pattern among Senate Democrats of hostility to religious faith. I have to say I was deeply troubled a few minutes ago to hear questioning of a nominee asking your personal views on what is sinful. In my view, that has no business in this committee. Article 6 of the Constitution says there should be no religious test for any public office. We have also seen Senate Democrats attack what they've characterized as religious dogma. We've seen Senate Democrats attack nominees for their own personal views on salvation. I don't believe this is a theological court of inquisition.
Yeah, I really don't think the Democratic senators want to go there. What is sin? I don't think they have enough committee time to deal with that. But Senator Ted Cruz was not the only senator to weigh in on this. Also Mike Lee, Senator of Utah, who happens to be a constitutional attorney. He pushed back on this as well. Here's what he had to say.
The problem with asking a nominee about the particulars of his or her religious beliefs is that those questions inevitably expose those beliefs as somehow a qualifier or a disqualifier for public office. That is flatly inconsistent with at least the spirit, if not also the letter, of at least two provisions of the Constitution. I cannot fathom why this would ever make sense to do. There was a time in this country when people might have been asked in a job interview context or in the context of a hearing like those we hold here, whether someone believed in God whether they were Christian. When they might have been asked those, it was not for a good reason, because there is never a good reason in a public setting to ask that question, save perhaps if you just want to make sure that that person's religious beliefs do not require that person to betray the judicial oath. Beyond that, I can't fathom a circumstance in which that would be appropriate. So I would ask Senator Hirono, in what circumstance, in what way, shape, or form, is asking Naomi Rao whether she believes particular conduct to be sinful an appropriate question to be asked in this committee, ever?
These probing questions, if you were to list all of the questions that we ask, they have to do with whether or not these nominees very strongly held religious views, as well as any other views that may not enable them to be objective as judges in lifetime positions. I think that's a legitimate area of inquiry. And it is not that we all ask, do you think such and such is a sin, et cetera, et cetera. Although,
well, that was asked that this week. This week it was asked. I'm not making this up. Well,
and joining us now on the Washington Watch hotline is Senator Mike Lee himself, calling from the Capitol. Senator, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's good to be with you.
We've just been discussing, playing clips from the recent hearing with Naomi Rao, and how she was the inquiry about whether or not she thought such behavior was sin. And the fact that you and Senator Cruz pushed back on this, but this is a disturbing trend that I think is very dangerous. Explain what's taking place on Capitol Hill when it comes to this religious test.
I think the two words you use to describe it, disturbing and dangerous, are both accurate. Look, I'm in my ninth year of service in the United States Senate, and I've served on the Judiciary Committee that entire time. I have never, until the last few months, seen on any regular basis questions like this come up with someone asking whether certain conduct is sinful. And if you think about it, Tony, that's the kind of question that is uniquely likely to target religious believers, because if somebody doesn't believe something is a sin, they may not be a believer. It's much easier to castigate somebody or to make someone feel or look isolated if you focus on their religious belief about something being a sin. It's one of the reasons why I think that question is so wildly inappropriate, unless perhaps if you're asking whether someone could be objective and is willing to apply the law on its basis. But that doesn't appear to be what they were doing here.
Senator Lee's joining us from the cloakroom on the Capitol Hill, the Senate working on the floor there. Senator, in a way, this is kind of a reverse religious test. I mean, used to, one of the things that the founders wanted to guard against when we set up the federal government was that no one had to subscribe to a certain religious view in order to hold office. Now, it appears that if you hold to a religious view that is orthodox in its teaching, that there are those that want to exclude you from serving.
Yes, that's right. And that's one of the reasons why, when I raised this point in our Judiciary Committee meeting the other day, I brought up the fact that there was a time in our country when questions like that might have been common in a job interview or even in a Senate confirmation hearing. The questions, that is, about someone's religious belief. The hope was that some of the people in the room who thought these questions were appropriate would get it when they understood that perhaps this might have exposed non-believers or non-Christians to ridicule in times past if these questions were asked. They didn't appear to latch onto that. But you're exactly right. It's one of the reasons why we have a religious test ban in the Constitution, one of the reasons why we have an equal protection clause, and why we have a free exercise clause in the Constitution. It's also, I would add, one of the reasons why we have Rule 610 of the Federal Rules of Evidence, which in a courtroom context expressly prohibits the use of evidence of a witness's religious beliefs or opinions, and declares those things to be not admissible to attack or to support a witness's credibility. It's not something that is fair game to bring up in public, in the public square, for a public purpose.
Senator, one final question. We're almost out of time. But in your opinion, when you describe this trend that is beginning to occur, is it the intent, you believe, for some on the other side of the aisle to exclude people of faith from serving in positions such as on the court?
I doubt very highly that any of them would acknowledge, either publicly or privately, that that's what they're trying to do. They probably don't even think subjectively that that's what they're doing. But I do fear that their asking of these questions perhaps reflects a certain skepticism of those with whom the dogma runs deep, as they might put it. And that is itself troubling enough. The fact that they think that there is enough cause for concern when somebody holds deeply to their religious beliefs, when they're willing to acknowledge that there are some things that, while not unlawful, it might not be smiled on by Almighty God. That is a great concern to me, and I think that's one of the reasons why we've got to nip this in the bud. When they ask questions like that, we've got to push back on them hard and say, this is none of your darn business. What somebody believes privately is not the business of the public.
And I would say dangerous to our republic. Senator Mike Lee, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you stepping off the Senate floor to talk with us.
Thank you very much.
You can find out more about Senator Mike Lee when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider donating to the work of Family Research Council by simply clicking on the donate button. Your financial help is critical this time of year, and you can make the difference. That website, once more, is TonyPerkins.com.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener, replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet, and share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. In stark contrast to recent legislation out of New York and Virginia, the state of Mississippi is working toward enacting one of the best pro-life laws in the nation. The Republican-controlled State House and Senate passed separate bills on Wednesday to ban most abortions once a heartbeat is detected. Joining Tony to discuss that legislation is the governor of Mississippi, Phil Bryant.
Governor, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Good afternoon. It's another great day in Mississippi.
Well, every day's a great day in Mississippi. Some are just greater than others, right?
It is. Just another one. Well, yesterday I was so proud of the men and women in the Mississippi Senate and Mississippi House that stood up for life. It took this vote on a heartbeat bill, 81 in the House of Representatives out of 122 and 35 out of 52 in the Senate. So we had some Democrats come along with us, some that realized the importance of life, particularly beginning with that fetal heartbeat. And so we're very proud of where we're at. Obviously, we'll face a legal challenge. I'm accustomed to that. We've been there before. We're with it with our 15-week ban that we passed in 2018. But we've got to fight this fight every step of the way. We never can yield to the left on this, and to those of the want of destroying babies within the womb, destroying life. So I am proud today of where we're at and where we're standing.
Well, Governor, you and I talked about this a few weeks ago. We were at an event together talking about it, and you know, having been in the legislature, and you get a legislature that gets an idea and they pass it and it lands on the governor's desk. Sometimes you get these governors who reluctantly will sign these bills. You're not one of those governors. This is something you've been pushing. You've wanted to see Mississippi leading out on the protection of human life.
That's absolutely right, Tony, and I was literally on the phone to members of the Senate who were thinking that it would not come out of committee. And I talked to specific members that had an opportunity to either bring this bill out or let it die. And they had almost convinced themselves, because of the secular war that was going to be brought down upon them because of the lawsuits, they had nearly convinced themselves not to do this. And I was on the phone with them moments before the committee came together, telling them, I will stand with you, or we will stand together. This is what we were called upon to do. Take this vote. And it's encouraging now to see some of those members speaking out on social media, how they're proud of that vote, and how quickly they now feel that doing taking this vote was in fact doing the right thing. And so, yeah, governors can help push, governors can help lead, governors can give some comfort to those in the legislative process, particularly the newer members that have never felt this storm, and that do not understand that this is what we are designed to do as conservatives, as Christians, and that it is an honor for us to suffer where we can under secular society by doing the right thing.
Yeah, you're no stranger to storms. You've had a few of those as you lead out on these things. And you mentioned the court. I'm sure you fully anticipate this will be challenged in court, but I think you're ready to defend it.
Absolutely. And look, in the 1960s here in Mississippi, there were those who stood up with the civil rights movement, both black and white, and they knew there was going to be a real storm. There were going to be firebombings. There was going to be assassinations. Your very existence would be taken away from you, as Medgar Evers was in front of his family, but they had to stand. I see a very similar relationship that we have here now with the people of the state of Mississippi as we now have this great movement to save the life, both African-American, 20 million African-Americans have lost their lives since Roe v. Wade in the womb, standing up for both white and African-Americans, realizing there will be a bombardment, there will be attacks, but the courageous men and women of the civil rights movement, the freedom riders of the 1960s stood when they knew that the courts would be against them, that the law enforcement would often be against them, and we are doing the very same here today for the civil rights, for the civil rights and civil liberties of those in the womb.
Governor, you've let out on religious liberty. You've let out on life issues. I mean, all of these issues, as you point out, are, you know, you've got secular society comes down on you like a ton of bricks, but you've not backed away from those things. What is it that motivates you to be a part of advancing these core values?
I think a simple faith. I truly believe that God has given me an opportunity. I don't think I've been ordained. I don't think I've been selected. I think I've been given an opportunity to serve. And when the good Lord calls on you and says, I'm going to open this door, and you can decide if you want to step through it, but you know I want you to. You know I want you to go out there and stop this infanticide. And I pray that I just simply have the courage to keep stepping through that door. But it's faith. It's not for a claim. Believe me, life would be simpler sometimes if we didn't stand, but we do stand. We do step through that door into the secular society and fight for our religious causes and beliefs.
Well, Governor, I, for one, commend you for your courage and for your bold stand for that which we know to be right and true, even though it may not be popular at times.
Amen.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for what you do. God bless you. We think of you and pray for you every day.
Thank you, Governor. Good to talk with you. Have a great day.
You can find out more about Governor Bryant and the Heartbeat Bill when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider joining us through your financial partnership in standing up for the life issue? Your financial help is critical this time of year, and you can make the difference. That website, once more, is TonyPerkins.com.
Myth and folklore have influenced our civilization for centuries. Some of these myths can be wondrous tales of fantasy, from unicorns to the ever-beloved elf on a shelf. Others, however, can be detrimental to our well-being. Today, the myths surrounding abortion have become part of such vexations that plague our society. In FRC's analysis, 10 Myths on Abortion, join us as we debunk these myths and find the truth to secure a future for the culture of life. Visit frc.org/myths.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener, replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet and share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Ever since the governor of New York signed the most extreme abortion legislation into law and the governor of Virginia endorsed infanticide, the American people have seen just how radical the Democrats have become. Now, the United States Senate is trying to push back in a significant way. Joining Tony to discuss that move by the Senate is Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri.
Let's talk about this, because you went to the floor and made a very passionate appeal. And I want to play this. It's just a very short clip. I want to play it. I know you didn't forget it, but I want our listeners to hear what you said on the Senate floor. Play the clip we have, number one.
Is this really what it has come to in the United States? Is this really the social vision of today's Democrat Party? Because frankly, I can't imagine a vision less just or less consistent with the goodness and compassion of the American people.
Senator, I have to think that it's shocking to see how your colleagues on the other side of the aisle responded to this, to allow America to be pushed to the point of infanticide.
You know, I cannot fathom, Tony, why any member of the United States Senate, or for that matter, any elected official in America, would object to protecting infants who have been born, for heaven's sake. I mean, you and I know that the innocent unborn, I mean, every person is created in the image of God, that every person has an inherent dignity and value and worth that comes from who they are. And it doesn't come from anybody else. It comes from who they are. But set aside the abortion issue. Let's just talk about babies who have been born. That's what this bill would do. Right. We should all be able to agree that if a baby is born, she deserves medical care. She deserves the protection of law. And to have my Democrat colleagues stand up and say, no, actually, no. We want to, I guess, preserve the option that if a baby is born who a parent would rather have aborted, that they want to be able to then later take the life of that child. It's just absolutely unconscionable.
I mean, it's chilling when you think about it, that that's where this issue has taken the Democratic Party, that Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry has their claws so deeply embedded in the Democratic Party that they cannot even rise to applaud the president when he says we need to stop this infanticide, essentially what he said in the State of the Union. And all but maybe two Democrats sat there on their hands.
Yeah, it's a stunning display. And, you know, what really strikes me about this, Tony, is that our most basic commitment, conviction as Americans, is the idea that every person has dignity and worth, that every person is capable of governing himself or herself, that every person deserves a say. That's why we are who we are. And that's what's at stake in this debate right now. I mean, this is the core of who we are as Americans. That's what we are fighting for. This isn't about some little issue that doesn't concern most people. This concerns the very essence of who we are as Americans. And that's why I said on the floor of the Senate last week, look, it's a revolutionary faith that we hold, the revolutionary idea that every single person has worth and dignity that matters. And we're going to fight for that revolutionary faith in this generation. And that's the fight that we have in front of us.
You know, Senator, I think that's a really good point to step back in a city that has become very divided by politics and policy. And I've been here almost 16 years, and I've seen it. And so people just say, all right, well, that's a red policy, that's a blue policy, and the two are just going to clash over it. But this is one of those issues that really should transcend politics and parties. This is about who we are, or who we will become. This is not just an issue of policy. This is a moral issue that is defining of a people. And that's frightening when you think that there are those who would literally, by their silence, embrace infanticide.
It is frightening, and it really is. It's a watershed moment for us as a country. And it gets back to who we are as a people. And, you know, I pointed out in my remarks on the floor, Tony, and I would just say here again, that look, you know, we know for most of recorded history that most other societies didn't value every life, that most other societies thought that the children who weren't wanted should be able to have their lives taken even after they were born. We know that most societies have held people in slavery over the course of human history, but we're different. I mean, our society is different, and we've struggled to realize our ideals, but by golly, they have been our ideals from the beginning. And they are a set of revolutionary ideas that we hold, and that is what we are fighting for now. And I just want to say, as the youngest member of the Senate, as you mentioned, that for those who worry They look at this rising tide of cruelty and extremism that we're seeing from the Democratic Party. Those who worry about the future of this country and our culture, I just want to say this on behalf of this next generation. We are prepared to pay the price and to bear the burden to see our great American convictions move forward in this generation. And that's what it's going to take.
Sidra, I know you got to go here in just a minute, but I want to ask you the prospects, given the mounting pressure. The president spoke very forcefully and direct on this issue in the State of the Union last week, as I mentioned. The polling overwhelmingly shows that the American people are not behind these New York, Virginia-type bills. Do you think you'll see movement from your Democratic colleagues? I mean, the House is pounding it. Do you think there might be a way forward here?
I sure hope there is. I can't believe it's controversial at all to protect babies born in America, but I hope that we'll see reasonable heads prevail on the Democratic side. But, you know, Tony, I have to say, I'm not very optimistic about that. You look at what the Democratic Party has been advancing just this last week alone. I mean, they're talking about they want to abolish ICE. We're seeing a wave of openly anti-Semitic comments from Democrat politicians.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of them would love to abolish Israel. So abolish ICE, abolish Israel, and now allow babies, the innocent unborn, to be a subject to who knows what. I mean, not to be given basic medical care and the protections of law. It is a radical agenda, and I think that the American people are going to look at that and say, that's not who we are.
I think you're right. It's going to be up to the American people to address this injustice and ensure that America does not cross this line of embracing infanticide. Senator Josh Hawley, thanks so much for taking time out to join us today.
Thanks so much, Tony. Thanks for having me.
On this past Thursday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell announced that the Senate will vote on this legislation on Monday, February 25th. On that day, every American will know where their senator stands on the issue of infanticide. We hope you'll visit TonyPerkins.com and click on the link to ask your senators to support the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.